and did a good job. They brought a lot of children in. I must admit, I got a little nervous. I did put an air tag on the bus so I could follow up where they were going, and that was kind of fun. But the bus route went really well. The ladies did such a phenomenal job and had good treats every night. I think I gained 5 pounds this week. Had pizza one night, ham and cheese one night, macaroni and cheese. Wow. You try to make macaroni and cheese for 50 people sometime. That's not easy. And then on Friday night, we had hot dogs, our all-time favorite. The least healthy, most tasty food there is. Amen. But praise the Lord, the best part of all was the Word of God was preached, and we're not sure exactly how many. I'm not so big on head counting as I am just trusting God, but we figure somewhere between 6 and 10 children got saved. And one young man in particular that I was so excited to lead to the Lord on Friday night. And folks, Christ can save souls. Last week was a good week. VBS and some other things happened last week. Got a lot accomplished last week. Got the sound system up and running. Got the air conditioner fixed. We had it down to 70 in here on Thursday night. It was plumb cold. We got the bid for the parking lot. We got some lights put on the parking lot. I got to thinking to myself, you know, perhaps we might be guilty sometimes of not trusting God enough to try to do something. Say, oh, that's going to be too hard, Pastor. We can't do that. It's going to be too hard to pave the parking lot. It's going to cost too much to run VBS. That's just too much work. The Bible says when we're weak, God is strong. I'd like to know, be honest with me. Would you like to make a difference in the lives of other people? Amen? I would. I like making a difference, but I realize I cannot do it without God. We're going to see some of that today in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm out of Isaiah for two reasons. One of them is I'm really struggling with just exactly what to do in Isaiah next, and I, Lord willing, will have that figured out by the end of the week. But I thought this message would be appropriate on the tail end of our vacation Bible school. Because Friday night when we got home, we felt two things, utter exhaustion and satisfaction. Praise God, we did it. The program was complete. It was a success. I got to see Mark McMahon wear an aluminum foil hat. So many blessings of the week, children saved, and workers just happily serving the Lord. And doesn't it feel good to know you changed a child's life? But doesn't it feel really good to know you changed a child's eternity? Making a difference. VBS was a lot of work. Successful. Souls saved. Workers encouraged. The Spirit of the Lord was present. We had a good spirit throughout the week. Feels good to know we serve God. We stepped out by faith, attempting to do something that's difficult, and God let us do it. That's what being a Christian is all about. Amen? When we do those kind of things, we make a difference. I think the goal of our church ought to be making a difference in the lives of people. I saw a sign on a church somewhere along the way talking about how good the church was and how it changed people's lives. And they had a website link underneath it, and I thought, I want to see this. And I came to my office, and I got on the website link, and I looked at the video, and this family said, yeah, we moved here from India, and the church gave us money and gave us a place to live for a while and paid some bills for us and talked all about money. But I want you to know something. Money's not the answer. It made me sad to watch that video and think, where is the testimony that says, I was lost and on my way to hell, and the church gave me the gospel and prayed for me and I got saved? That's making a difference. We can give a child a hot dog and praise the Lord for hot dogs, but we can give a child Christ. How can you compare material things with the God of the universe? You can't. Now, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians, I have to chuckle just a little bit. About 10 years ago in Maryland, I decided to preach through 1 Corinthians. If there is any book in the Bible that's other than maybe a couple of the Old Testament prophets that's full of bad news, it's 1 Corinthians. Paul starts out at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. Don't turn there. We're in chapter 16. We're at the end. He starts out, he spends maybe half a chapter saying, hey, we sure like you guys. And then he says, you got this problem, you got this problem, you got this problem, you got this problem, you got... And he lists about 15 different things that are wrong in the church at Corinth. It was bad. They had people in Corinth that taught that there was no resurrection. How on earth? But you know what happened was, Paul never told those people, go find another church. You know what he said? Fix what's wrong. Amen? I have made mistakes in my life of leaving situations when I should have stayed and fixed what was wrong. I am afraid too many people move around too much. And staying put's hard sometimes. Staying put can be very difficult. But folks, God wants us to stay put. And when you stay put, now if God says move, you move. But here's a rule of thumb. If God doesn't say move, you stay put. Amen? If you just keep on moving every time something goes wrong. I still remember there was a fellow that I did some business with. At the time, I lived in Salt Lake City, and he lived here in Phoenix, and his name was Bill. And he and I were talking, and he said, you know, he said, if you keep going from company to company to company looking for the perfect company, you're never going to find it. Don't just change jobs and change jobs and change jobs. Stay where you are and make things better. Wouldn't it be great if church members saw it that way? I got to tell you a short joke. I hope you get it, okay? There was a fellow, and he was on an island, and he had been stranded on this island for about 10 years by himself, all by himself on this island. One day a ship came up and picked him up and rescued him, and they brought a boat to the shore, and they're standing on the shore talking to this fellow. He says, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I've been here for 10 years. They said, just by yourself? Yeah. So what are all these buildings here? He said, well, that building right there is the house I live in, and I built that when I first got here. And he said, and that other building right there, he said, I'm a very religious man. That's the church I go to. And they said, you've been here for 10 years, and you built all this? And they said, yeah. He said, yeah, I built all these. And he said, well, what's the other building there? Well, that's the church I used to go to. Stay put, folks. Amen. God did not tell the Corinthians, go find a better church. He said, stay put and make things right. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm in 1 Corinthians 16, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 16, I want to begin reading in verse 15. He says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. I'll explain that in a minute. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So he says, I beseech you, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, there's more here than we could look at for the rest of the day. And I pray you'd help us to see what we need to see, what we ought to see, what you want us to see. I do thank you for this occasion that we've concluded Vacation Bible School. We just finished a school year. We're looking at summer ahead, summer camp and other activities. But Lord, let us pause for a moment and hear from you, what you have to say to us, and encourage us, strengthen us, give us an understanding of how to make a difference. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, if you go to Greece today, you go to Athens, and you head south out of Athens, a little less than an hour, you come to a canal that wasn't there in Paul's day. It was dug in the 1800s, and it is a cut through about 150 feet of rock, and it's a channel of water. It's only about as wide, not even maybe as wide as this auditorium. And when you're going through it on a boat, if you look up at one point, it's 150 feet up to the surface up above, and you're in this channel. And the reason they made that cut was because if you wanted to sail from one point to another, you had two choices. You could go all the way around this big peninsula or take this little about 3-mile shortcut. Save you a lot of time, save you a lot of risk. It was a very difficult area to travel in. And so actually one of the Caesars of Rome, well, one of the emperors of Rome started the project. They gave up. And finally in the 1800s, they finished this thing. And on one end of it is a place called Corinth. On the other end is a place called Achaia. Those are the two cities that are there. And that area is not that far apart. It's just 2 or 3 miles apart. And so when you look at verse 15, he talks about this place called Achaia. He says, Stephanas is the first fruits of Achaia. Somebody, I presume Paul, led Stephanas to Christ. He's the first one. Amen? Somebody led you to Christ. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. Okay? Now, hopefully, it's not the end of the process. The chapter doesn't stop right there. There was a beginning, and the beginning was one person got saved, then somebody else got saved. Then somebody else got saved. Then somebody else got saved, and before you know it, they got a church. Corinth is a beautiful place. The weather's nice. If you stand in the city, it had a big, big shopping area. There was lots of merchandise there because all these ships coming through. And before they had that cut that I told you about, what they would literally do is they would pull the ships up onto one dock. If it was small enough, they would roll it on logs down this road, put it back in the water on the other side, and off they would go. If it was too big, they would unload everything, put them on wagons, take them across to the other side, put them on another ship, and off they would go. And so there was tons of merchandise coming and going. The Corinth was a place of comfort. It was a place of leisure. In fact, there was a word to Corinthianize. It was a word that they would use to mean to be totally engrossed in pleasure and had some immoral connotations. If you've seen the top of a pillar, we have no pillars in our auditorium, but you see the top of the pillar, they have that thing on the top that's kind of shaped different. It's called a capital, or chapiter is another word for it. But that top of the pillar, if it's got a whole lot of ornate carving around it, that's called a Corinthian capital because the Corinthians were decorators and they wanted it nice and they had fancy things. And so it's a really good picture of the world today, isn't it? Everyone's interested in appearances, interested in entertainment, interested in pleasure. Folks, God can save people in that kind of a world as well. So Stephanas, this fellow, he was the first one. Then the Bible says in that same verse, in verse 15, it says that they, the house of Stephanas, and so he had some family that was involved. There's some more folks that got saved. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I thought about, that's the one time in the Bible the word addicted occurs used in this way. To be addicted to something. We have young people addicted to their phones. They're going to spend all their time on the phone. We hear about people being addicted to drugs and alcohol and sin, things like that. But you know, the ministry can be addicting. Friday night, in the kitchen, trying to get a hot dog early, and I failed. But anyway, in a kitchen on Friday night, and I said, hadn't it been a great week? And they said, yeah, let's do it again. It's addicting. It feels good to serve God. You don't understand. if you stand back and watch, or worse yet, if you don't even come along, you don't know what you're missing. In the end of your life, every week we read about somebody famous, usually entertainer, Tina Turner or somebody. Recently she passed away, and read about some entertainer that passed away or some politician or some famous person. And I always ask myself this question. I wonder if they're satisfied with the way they use their life now that it's over. I wonder if they're happy with what they did with their life. What would you rather do? Would you rather be a famous entertainer? Or would you rather lead 10 children to Christ? Somebody may never know your name. You may never show up in a magazine or a newsreel or YouTube. Well, you can be on YouTube if you come to our church, because we have YouTube now. But you may never be famous. But if you make a difference in some other people's lives, you're famous in God's eyes. That's better. This fellow's named in the Bible, Stephanus. That word comes from the word that means crown, by the way. It says they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I'll just say this. If you're going to make a difference, you got to get involved. You got to do something. I understand prayer makes a difference, and I encourage you, if you can't do anything else, stay home and pray. But if you can come out and serve, you'll be blessed. You'll make a difference. We had people here this week, and they did all sorts of work. We had everything in the world going on, the cooking and the teaching and the games and the water balloons and tons of little things, and people behind the scenes working in the sound booth or cleaning or you name it. There's lots of work to be done. I was astounded that Friday night at 8 o'clock, this auditorium looked completely different from what it does right now. There was all sorts of stuff on the platform and things hanging from the ceiling, and there were two really funny-looking robots right about here made out of ductwork and aluminum pans. And all sorts of things in here. And look at it now. Somebody came and cleaned. Somebody used their hands to serve God by putting an offering envelope in the back of every one of these chairs. Somebody put the hymn books back out. Somebody swept the floor. Somebody cleaned the restroom. You got to get involved, folks, if you're going to make a difference. Paul says there's this man named Stephanus. He was addicted to the ministry. He just kept ministry and service. He just kept on serving. Let's keep going. He says in verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Let me read that again. He says, I beseech you in verse 15, brethren, that ye submit yourselves, verse 16, unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Submission. Submission. You know, when you submit, what that says is, I'll help. I don't have to be in charge. I'll do whatever needs to be done. Brother Mendez and I are firmly believers that one of the best jobs you can have in the church, clean the bathroom. Amen? Say, Pastor, I'm too good to clean the bathroom. I don't know about that. You might be mistaken about that. The Lord Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. I'd rather clean a bathroom than wash people's feet. Amen? No, we should serve each other. We should submit. You know, Brother Carlos, last week, he had a whole lot of jobs to get done, and somebody had to say, I'll do that, I'll do that, I'll do that. Somebody said, I'll drive the bus. We had a fellow came and volunteered to drive the bus, did a great job. Somebody else works on the bus. Somebody else sits at the registration table and writes down children's names. The word submit just means to comply, to agree, to get involved, to be willing to do what someone asks you to do. Well, I have to be in charge, Pastor. Yeah. You know what I found out? I'd a lot rather be a worker ant than the leader ant. It's just fun to know what you got to do and do it instead of having to handle all the problems. Submission. You don't make a difference, you're going to have to submit in verse 16. Now look at verse 18. He says, let me read verse 17 too. He says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus. So here's that Stephanus again. And Achaicus, that's third fellow there. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Now, I want to look at that first part of verse 18, that idea of refreshment. We know all about getting hot. We live in Phoenix. And it's kind of funny. One of the big jobs in VBS is to have water for the kids so they can have some cool water when they come in from playing outside. It is refreshing when someone gives you something to comfort you in times of distress. You're hot, and they give you cold water. Let me just change that a little bit. How encouraging are you? You know what that means to be encouraging, don't you? You know, I don't want to be too negative. There are some folks that have the gift of discouragement. You know, you put a whole bunch of work into a project, and you do everything you can, and you know you still got some glitches in it, and someone walks up and says, "Oh, I see a glitch." Hey, 20 or 30 things are going perfect, but they see a glitch. Try to be encouraging to folks. Amen? It's too quiet, brother. Can you just walk up to somebody and say, "Thank you for your service. You did a good job. Thank you for helping out." I am encouraged when people want to get involved, and I am encouraged. I don't need somebody to pat me on the back. But I do like it when someone says, "Can I help?" That's encouraging, isn't it? Now, look at this phrase here. This is very important. He says, "They have refreshed my," what's that word? "Spirit." This is not a physical refreshing, it's a spiritual refreshing. Are you a refreshment to other people spiritually? It's a good thing. It makes a difference. Amen? I think God would like to have a church full of people that are refreshing, that just love each other, and rather than say, "Oh, I see something wrong, let me point that out," they can say, "Praise the Lord, look how well things are going." Refreshing someone's spirit. Now, if you look at the rest of that, it keeps on going. It says, "Acknowledge ye them that are such." Acknowledge. He's going to do some of that here in a minute. The word he's going to use is the word salute or salutation. But he says, "Acknowledge them that are such." Now, I would like to, and I started to do it at the beginning of the service, and I won't do it, so you don't stand up. But I was going to say, everyone who worked in VBS, please stand up. We want to acknowledge you. And I hesitate to acknowledge any one person because a lot of folks work and all of you did an important job. Maybe somebody, I know, for example, I'll just pick one person. Maybe somebody like Andrew got an ice chest, put some bottles of water in it, put a bag of ice on it, and lugged it out to the bus and put it on the bus. That's an important job. I've been the bus driver and the bus rider. I know it's when you need water, you need water. Somebody was willing to do that, and I would acknowledge Andrew. I would acknowledge the folks that did other things. I'm not going to name you all right now. I could, but let me tell you something else. There will be a day when Christ will acknowledge you. Wow. You want to make a difference? Be refreshing to other people's spirit. And they'll acknowledge it. They'll see it. They'll know it. It makes a difference. There's plenty of critics in the world. Amen? We can see what's wrong. Someone this pastor and his youth and his assistant. This pastor and the assistant are walking across the parking lot. And the assistant standing next to the pastor. And the assistant looks down and sees a piece of trash on the ground. And the assistant says, "Somebody should pick that up." Do you see what's happening here? Just pick it up. Amen? You see something needs to be done? See a need, meet a need. See a problem, solve a problem. And if you don't know how to solve it, pray. A lot of times we don't know what to do, but God does. All right, I'm out of time. Here we go. One more. So he says, There needs to be some submission in verse 16. Cooperation, get involved. There needs to be some supply and refreshment, refreshing the spirit, doing something encouraging. And then in verse 19, here's that word I promised you, the churches of Asia. Now, just for the record, this region is south of Asia a little bit. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. There's a couple of people that are willing to give their house to the Lord to use for a church. All the brethren greet you. He says in verse 21, the salutation of me, Paul. Now here's why I'm fascinated by that. That church at Corinth was a wreck. They had carnality in the church. They were divided. They were carnal. Paul says, you're not spiritual, you're carnal. If you were spiritual, you wouldn't be divided like you are. They had false doctrine in that church. They had immorality in that church. They had a really wicked, immoral situation that Paul told them, you got to kick that guy out of church. They had a bad situation there. And Paul can look, he did spend some time telling them how to solve some problem, but now he says, now let's just stop and say this. I salute you for what you're doing. I salute you for who you are. I acknowledge you. I salute you for being servants of Christ, for receiving him, and for walking with him. The salutation was a greeting or an address, an expression of welcome or of goodwill or respect. Got some fellows here that were in the military. Used to drive me crazy. I was a second lieutenant. That's an officer. There's certain things you don't do when you're an officer. One of them is don't go near the door of the enlisted mess hall when they're coming out. Because every one of them is going to salute you. And you're going to wind up standing there saluting people for 5 minutes. So stay away from that place. But when you walk down the street or into a room or whatever, and you see an officer, you salute them. It's a sign of respect and acknowledgement. I want you to know something, folks. God wants us to salute one another. Not so much with this as with this. Is love folks. Care about them. Do something to regard them as important or respectable. You say, well, Pastor, they don't deserve it. No, neither do any of us. This church at Corinth did not deserve this. And Paul says, hey, these folks salute you. They know who you are, and they're rooting for you, and they're on your side. And they wanted to tell you hello and that they're praying for you. Just because somebody's not perfect, it doesn't give us the right to withhold a salute to them. So I won't talk to that person. They offended me. Well, you need to learn about forgiveness. Amen? But no, we salute one another because we're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. A salute is a recognition of who they are in Christ, and it is going to be important in order to make a difference. And here's why. I found out a long time ago, when you work with teenagers are just, that's why pastors start out as youth pastors, because you learn principles on young people, and then about the time you figure it out, they're grown up, and now you got the same people, but now they're adults. But meanwhile, truth of the matter is, we're all kind of teenagers in some ways. When you work with teenagers, if there's I had a youth group in Salt Lake City, there were about 20 of them. If one of those young people thought I did not like them, they were done with me. And why would they not be done with me? If I don't care about them, why should they listen to me? So you had to be very careful, because some of them would drive you crazy. There's one right now. I see him on Facebook. His name's Luke. I won't give his last name. My wife knows who he is. You could have 19 teenagers in a room and bring Luke in, the whole thing changed. It would go from order to pandemonium in no time at all. He was a handful. But I love the kid. And there were some other kids in there, a young man named Jake and a young man named DJ. Wow, DJ was a lot of work. We'd go on a youth trip and we'd stop to go to the restroom, and all the teens would get out and go to the restroom. They'd all come back, get in the van. DJ would say, I got to go to the restroom. DJ, we've been here 15 minutes. But listen, folks, you got to love people anyway. Amen? Because sometimes you're that DJ. Sometimes you're that Luke, perhaps. And if you love folks and they know it, you can make a difference in their life. Amen? Now watch what I said, and let's just come back and finish this up. We're out of time. I want to make a difference. I think you do too. I want to make a difference for Christ. I want to see some children get saved. I want to see some saved people turn their life over to God and take it away from the world. I want to see some people turn their back on sin. And if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have, there's going to be some submission. Some time when I say, I'm just willing to help. I'll do whatever needs to be done. I'm here to be a part of this. I'll work. That's submission. There's got to be some supply and refreshment to where we say, I'm going to be encouraging to the other workers. I'm going to compliment them. I know there's things that aren't right. You know, they did this wrong or that's not correct or whatever. You look in this auditorium, it's nice, but there's a bad spot on the ceiling. Now, what I can do is I can say, well, there's a bad spot on the ceiling, all is lost. No, this is a nice auditorium. We just got to fix a little something. That's kind of like our lives. Christ has got to fix some things. It's not our job to go around pointing out the bad spots in the ceiling. It's our job to come along and say, thank God for what he's done. Be refreshing. Be encouraging. Be a complimenter and not a condescender. And then give some folks a salute. Congratulations, you did a good job. To those of you that worked in VBS, I haven't got to say it. You know it already, but congratulations, you did a good job. Let's do something big for the Lord next week. Amen? Not trying to be funny. Let's do something for the Lord next week. And let's do something for the Lord in this town. And let's get our parking lot fixed up. And let's fix the spot in the roof. And let's do what we have to do and make this place something that folks can say, those people there are serving God. They love the Lord. One of the biggest blessings I saw this week, if you could pick one, is standing outside the back porch back there, watching those kids playing in the field. The field needs some work too, but sure nice to see little children laughing and running and playing at God's house. Amen? And the fort back there that we could commend folks for building and should, and all the work that went into that. And poor Tony over here, he lost like 5 years of life putting that fort together, I think. He's been working so hard this week. Thank you. Amen? For the spade. We're going to call it Fort Spade. Amen? Anyway, let's be on each other's side. Let's make a difference. Here's the end and I'm done. If we can make a positive difference in each other's life, if we can make a positive difference in each other's life, then we can make a positive difference in the world. If we're going to try and make a positive difference in the world and we can't get along, it's not going to happen. Amen? Let's all stand and pray. Father, thank you tonight this morning for the Word of God. We think of that man named Stephanus. We're going to see him in heaven someday. He trusted Christ as his Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for his sins. He believed, and now he's saved. Lord, I pray for the folks here today, we'd realize that because of Christ, we have eternal life. We have a home in heaven. We have certainty. We have absolute eternal security. But Lord, help us in this world to make a difference, and help us to remember the place to start making a difference is with that person standing in front of you. Some submission. Some refreshing. Some salutation. Some respect. Some forgiveness. Some encouragement. God, help us to be that way towards one another. Before we go out and try to change the world, help us to be a person that changes the one standing next to us. I pray for folks here today that they'd understand what that means. Please bless us now as we have a